Once again, welcome to all of you, those that came in a little later. We're just glad to see all of you, and we're just sorry there are probably people who just didn't dare to drive out this morning, but thank you for risking it if it was a risk. And we just have not many times when our focus is mainly on the Holy Spirit, and it's been really wonderful preparing for this and just delving into more of, we can take so for granted the term the Holy Spirit and not unpack all that he means to our faith. So that's our hope today, is that we can really stir you to see and experience him in a different way. Our whole year is about measures and the letters of Paul and how often his heart flows out with just the knowledge and experience that all that God has for us is just beyond our human measure. So we are inviting the Lord to work that in us this year, that we would see and experience him in a different measure. And that is the same as the same thing that we're doing today with the Holy Spirit, that we could have open eyes to things that we maybe have not seen before, that we would develop new ground through this day, that the Holy Spirit would move us in new directions, that we would make the connection between his work and the outflow of God's love, how those two go together, that we invite him to speak into our lives even today and to grow in that, and also to really put before him the call on our lives and what the Holy Spirit has for us next in that. So I just want to invite Jenny and Paul Curry up. They're going to just share the word, just read the word for us, and just soak it in as they read. If anyone needs to know the references, I can give those to you later. So.
Hear words that we believe and profess from Paul in 1 Corinthians. And I, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit.
The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them?
In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us.
This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words.
The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit.
The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Hear the word of the Lord in John 15. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love.
If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends.
You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you.
Again, in 1 Corinthians, words we believe. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work.
Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues.
And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many.
Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts.
The word of the Lord found in John 14. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority.
But whatever he hears, he will speak.
And he will declare to you the things that are to come.
He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
The word of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 13, and I will show you still a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing.
The word of the Lord in Romans. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
And in Ephesians, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. The word of the Lord. Amen.
It's kind of enough for the day, isn't it? I do want to just share a little bit about the word of the Lord that really has shaped this day, and just a testimony that the Lord continues to speak to us. And so I felt it was right to just share a couple of the, well, you have it on a white sheet. These are the main things that as we met over a period of weeks, we received from the Lord. And so as it says on this sheet, and just read it for yourselves, our practice in forming things was to ask at the meetings, beginning with scripture, then inviting the Lord to lead our time of planning, and then asking the questions that are listed there below with the dates on them, writing down what we heard from the Lord and sharing it with one another, and then praying it back to the Lord. Whatever he had shown us, we would entrust those purposes to him. And again, you can read this, but some of the questions that we often ask: how does the Lord want access among us? What does he want to reveal about himself to us? What is on the Lord's heart for those who are coming? What are the purposes for those who are coming? What does he want to reveal among us? What are we to ask for this particular day? We asked him that. And finally, what were we to believe him for this particular second Saturday? So out of those, you can read these. Again, they were all things that we wrote down and shared and prayed, but a couple of images. One was of a sidewalk representing our walk with the Holy Spirit. There was a series of typical gray slabs of concrete on the walk. One slab, though, had colorful chalk pictures on it, a sidewalk art such as what a child might draw. And as we waited on him, we sensed that it represented play that has meaning, the freedom of a childlike heart that openly trusts him. The ways of walking with the Holy Spirit can be colorful and active with symbols that speak to us. So that was one symbol. Further over on the next column, the word accuracy. We sensed the Lord wanted us to get rid of false ideas of the Spirit, or the idea that we already knew all that we needed to know. He wanted us to understand and comprehend what he does, and not restrict him or pay full attention to him. So that was a word that we just felt all of us needed to hear, that he was saying, there's a lot you don't know. You may think that you know, but you have more to learn. Another thing under foundations that I just wanted to call out, one of our core members, the song, you might remember it, I Feel the Earth Move Under My Feet. It's an old song. But the idea was just that he tests foundations. He is shaking things up and waking us up and interrupting the status quo. And then the quote from Esther, for such a time as this, came to us. As he wants us to co-labor with him, and therefore he who knows the Father's heart and aims for all of us, he reveals beyond the wisdom and understanding that we bring to a situation. Asking him first what he wants to do will result in him speaking those passages and giving those kinds of images to us that convey many words. An image can convey way more than our words can. I want to share also those of you who were at the retreat last month heard a word that the Lord had given. I do have copies available for those who were not at the retreat, but it is a timely, I feel it's a timely word for the body of Christ and for us, that the Lord was saying he wanted his servants to rise up and finish their races, that there is more for us beyond the finish lines that we have set for ourselves. Then I saw old garments falling away, and they were being replaced by new mantles and running shoes. We are living with weights. They are surrounded by good things, their reality, that can instead become limitations. There is a door open to a path beyond this place where we are right now, where the Lord would have us keep running. And then I saw a scene of an open country, a fresh air, and Jesus standing by this doorway to talk to each one coming through. And he was the gentle shepherd saying, I want you to take my yoke on you and trade it for some things that you are carrying. He said, ask me to do the inner work that serves the next things that I have for you, to be done as you are free of the things that you have made friends with, which could indicate some idols that we may have made friends with. They cannot fit through the door that I want to take you through. I am the good shepherd. I am the one who restores the soul, but you must come aside and let me show you what to lay aside. So then I saw that beyond the door there was a banqueting table, which I believed is just the banqueting table in eternity, and there were people on the path. And my sense was that if we go through that door, the Lord would have us help some of those on the path get to the banqueting table and fill the empty chairs there. So that was about inner healing and running our race, but I feel that part of the theme today is the work of the Holy Spirit to free us so that we can finish our race, and sometimes that involves some inner healing issues. So I want to just invite Paul to come back up, and then I'll wrap up a little bit at the end.
Good morning. So we begin with love. We are created from and in God's love. We are intimately and infinitely known. Love is always a content and context of Father, Son, and Spirit relationship we have. It is never punitive. It is never forcing. It is never shaming. It is never diminishing in any way. Now, the Father gives us guidance through the Spirit, through the Spirit directing and shaping our understanding. And we get a lot of this, a lot of the knowledge and immediate understanding comes out of the Word, out of the text that we are given, out of the blessings, out of the promises, out of the commandments. And as you heard read in the Scriptures, this is one way and a huge way that God gives us his love. God gives me his love as he tries to correct through the presence of the Spirit within me the places where I have obstacles before God. Now, as we just heard, the presence of the Spirit within us is a reality. This isn't just a theology. It isn't just part of our creedal understanding, words we profess and believe. God gave us a Spirit for us to live. So I'm not diminishing the importance of our theology, but it really is directed at our hearts, about transformation. It's about a life. And we need to not think that the Spirit is something that's outside. I think for a long time I felt like the Spirit was something outside of me that I still had to acquire. And it almost like I kept the Spirit in the closet. Like, the Father and Jesus were pretty tangible awarenesses in my life, but the Spirit was this thing over here that I hadn't quite gotten. But it is not an addition that I must wait for or earn. The Spirit's presence and power is at work already within me. And it's one of the reasons why we can have such great confidence. In fact, it's probably the best reason we can have such great confidence in that word, that we cannot be separated from God's love. Because it's in. It lives within me no matter what circumstances I am in. No matter what's happening in the world, God's love and the presence of the Spirit is within me. Now, the presence of the Spirit is also demonstrated by the fruits of the Spirit. And I wish I had heard more of that growing up in my life, preached, spoken about, because that is something that is a witness to the Spirit's presence in me. And if those fruits are there, it is a confidence of knowing that that is the Spirit's work within me. Galatians 5 and in Philippians 4, we get very tangible lists of those fruits. But I think in any way that we understand love and the expression of love, and as it pours out from us to others, as we glorify God, as we thank God, as we profess His name, that is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, all the fruits are grounded and created in God's love. So in one way, we can almost understand the Spirit, or an interpretation of the Spirit within us, as the voice of God's love within us. Always prodding, always pushing, always saying to me, Paul, I love you. Be with me. Follow me. Love others. Serve others that I may pour through you into the lives of others. So the Spirit's work in me is the expression of the Godhead through me. This is my created purpose. I am a unique named creation. I am Paul Gregory Curry, fulfilling God's will and purposes to serve others and bring glory to His name. Therefore, this aspect of making room is about fulfilling that created purpose in me. We're given the disciplines. I'm given the disciplines of discipleship. Hebrews 12 is a great place to look and understanding what God's trying to do in me in the disciplines of discipleship. About making room and clearing obstacles, healing wounds, helping me through the struggles I have in living in this flesh, in a world that professes only the physical is real, but knowing that the invisible is far more real, far more powerful. Now, our traumas and woundings are very important. They need to be dealt with, and there are sometimes ways in this life that we have to go and get help. Often, we have to go get help. I spent quite a number of years in therapy to deal with issues of depression and shame. And, of course, no therapist, no work with a therapist completely does that work. It's all through God's work in me, and it's an ongoing work. Wounds, huge wounds that we can have in our childhoods or later, can have scar tissue that's there for a lifetime. Doesn't mean that it keeps me from what God has for me, but it's a recognition, this is where I've walked, this is what has happened, this is what God has done for me. Now, the temptation, of course, at least for me, is I do a lot of self-evaluation, trusting in what I understand versus the measures of God and the work of the Spirit. Now, the presence of the Spirit leads us past the limits of our own mind, our own reason, our own understanding, our own emotions and abilities, and particularly the self-deception that we can have, and the deception that can be forced upon us in this life. But that's what the Spirit is constantly working on in my life and in all of your lives, to say what is the truth, what God has provided, what God is blessing us with. Because the Spirit takes us to places within and without ourselves that we could never approach on our own. I can't do this by myself. I can't do this even with other human help, though that's very important, and the love of my wife, the love of my dear friends, what has happened with me, for me through the people here at All Things New, they're very powerful. But ultimately, and as we sang, it's the Spirit's work. It's God's love. It's God's presence that does this. In that sheet that Chris referred to, there are some images and thoughts we had about some of the ways we can have obstacles and what God and the Spirit is trying to prompt us for, and three of which I want to just reference real quickly here. One of which was we had this understanding of a bed, like in a hospital room, and we've been in the bed for a long time. We feel sick. We're hurting. It's just, I'm just tired. I want to be in the bed. And the Spirit's like this nurse coming in and opening the curtains in the hospital room, pulling back the covers, picking us up by the shoulders, helping us out of bed, saying, it's time to get out of bed. I'm here. Yeah, you're hurting. Let's go. Let's walk it. Let's go. Walk the halls. Get the freedom. It'll hurt, but trust me, I am with you. I am walking with you. I'm providing that strength. Get out of bed. Another one was about these bottles of wine. Amazing wine are up on a shelf, and we often keep them up on the shelf. We know they're there. We read the words. That's one of the reasons in reading this text this morning, it's so powerful. These are words that we believe. We profess this as our faith, and yet we keep it up on a shelf. We keep the Spirit's presence in our lives. We keep the beauty of God's love up in our lives. Because we go, I'm just hurting. This is too hard. It doesn't work for me. This doesn't mean it. It's just not real. We take the bottles down and pull the corks out and start drinking that wine. That's what the Spirit's trying to tell us. Peter's a wonderful example of this. At night that they're crossing the Sea of Galilee, Jesus comes walking across the water, and of course they're freaked out to begin with. But then Peter says, well, tell me, I'll come walk to you. And Jesus says, come walk. And Peter gets out of the boat and walks on water for about 3 seconds. And he puts the cork back in the bottle. Because he looks at the waves, he looks at the wind, and says, whoa, this can't be real. This isn't right. And he puts the cork back. And the last quick image I'm going to give is about a marsh. You know, marshes often happen when something blocks the flow of the fresh water flowing through it. And the water diminishes, it gets muddy, weeds, reeds grow up, and it gets blocked. But you know, the interesting thing about that marsh is it's now very fertile soil. And it's God, I think in this image, God's saying, you know what, no matter what has happened to you, no matter what your wound, your suffering, your trial, what has occurred in your life, how damaging it's been, where things feel stopped up, not only can I come and rework that ground, something will grow here that could not have been here without this marsh having occurred first. And I profess that in my life. Things occurred to me in my early years that blocked a huge element of fresh water in my life. But without that marsh, without the seeds there, lying dormant for a while, that God renewed, germinated, a long period of gestation, I believe I would not be standing here this morning. That's what God can do. Joseph, the words to Joseph, I can take what was meant for evil and turn it to good. Now, a huge way, of course, that we talk about here making room is through listening prayer and in journaling. Now, that requires quiet. And I fear quiet. I grew up fearing quiet. Quiet was the silence after my mom had said, just wait till your dad gets home and he hears what you've done. Quiet was also being in the house. When quiet, you know, you've seen movies, you know, when the thrillers or mysteries, you know, when it gets quiet, you know something bad's going to happen, right? And I've grown up with that in my life. In my house, if I was home alone, home alone and my dad was there or my mom, if I was even with the family there, but if it was quiet, I got worried. I got worried about where my dad was, what he might do. Now, God's had to heal that, and that's still working in my life. To get quiet for the Lord, I just didn't feel safe. Getting quiet felt like that's when I'm going to get it beat out of me. That's when something's going to happen I have no control over that is going to ruin me, to be death. But God in the Spirit's presence is always saying, no, I come to bring life. Being silent before me, let me speak to you. And I continue to work at that practice in my life. Our world is full of the fear of quiet. I'm just astounded how increasingly every nook and cranny of our life is filled with noise, entertainment, distraction, the pressure of the world's realities. You can't go to a baseball game anymore. They're pumping noise through the speakers and on images on the screen between pitches. Now, if you don't like baseball, maybe that doesn't matter to you, but it just drives me nuts. I went to the baseball game with my son. I couldn't talk to him. It was so noisy. There's no place for the invisible. We're left to our own thoughts. And those, of course, generally resolve down to fear and shame. Now, the Spirit's word is discernment. It's the discernment of the truth and love of God's voice. God's voice is always love, growth, hope, nurture, acceptance. It never leads to isolation. I loved isolation. To protect myself, to get away, to close down, hunker down, put up the shell. No. That's death. And God's way is to say, no, let me in. And he pushes me and all of us to the communion of relationship. Certainly, initially, the relationship with him and the power of the Spirit and the presence of Christ in our lives. But it's all of that we receive from one another, too, isn't it? Isn't that the beauty of worshiping together here today, praying here together today, listening to one another talk today? Communion of relationship. That discernment of truth and love is against the voice of death, the evil one, and the self-talk. You know, that Deuteronomic warning, Deuteronomic choice. Are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? The Spirit is here within me to point to that and say, no, Paul, that's the voice of death. There's so many ways you can grow up with things and think this is what life is supposed to be like. And the world certainly presents a lot of things about how and what life is supposed to look like that are about death. And yet we grow up with them thinking, oh, it's Kool-Aid. Tastes great. No, it's poison. So the Spirit is always helping us discern what is fearful, shaming, negative, despairing, worthless, controlling, fated. The lies that began with the serpent denying God's truth in the garden. Nah, you're not going to die. He just doesn't want you to know the good stuff. And we keep hearing those lies in the way of the world. The lies that fit the patterns and pressures of life in this world. They're so easy. They're so easy to hear. They're everywhere. And God keeps saying, no, listen to the Spirit. That's why we have to get quiet. It's why I have to get quiet. And not just reading the Word. Again, vital. But I can distract myself with reading. It's a lot easier to read than to go before God and go, okay, God, what are you trying to say to me right now? Well, this fear that's inside me today, oh, let me read about that fear. Now, there's some great books out there about fear. But I can read and read and read and never sit back and go and hear the Spirit's voice saying, Paul, here's where I'm trying to point to. Do you see where here you're still hiding on? You're still protecting? You're still trying to grab something and make it work for yourself versus letting it be my work? And that trust piece, right at that point, the invisible trust piece, because it just doesn't make sense. Oh, there's got to be something I can do. Some hammer I can lift, some place I can drive, some book I can find. God says, no, let me do this work in you. So the Spirit is always directing us to the opportunities and potentials of the Father's love. As I began this, we began and begin with love, and we end in love. God has the eternal view of his relationship with each one of us. His measures are eternally focused. Peter, on the beach with Christ after his resurrection, it's a beautiful arc of just this story. Because all Jesus says to him, all Jesus asks him, do you love me? And that is the entire picture of our lives right there. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Jesus is saying to him, I love you, my brother, my son, Peter. I love you. Do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep. It's not just about you, Peter. I'm healing you. That was, what a healing moment that was for Peter. After denying Christ three times, Jesus asks him three times, do you love me? What healing that was. And Peter received that healing, but it wasn't just for him. It was for feeding the sheep. His measures are eternally focused. They are the immeasurable overflowing of his love. That through Christ's loving sacrifice and the loving presence of the Spirit within us, we might become the righteousness of God and live eternally with him. To the glory of his name. Amen.
We could have ended there, but Paul was really addressing all the barriers that we have in our hearts and lives to the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to kind of finish by the choices to give him access. And but I want to step into what you were saying about love, because I think one of our signature parts of our ministry is not just listening prayer, but the dialogue that we have, the healing dialogue that we have with the Lord. And so I want to just say two things. One is about the inviting the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we go to journaling, these things will be filtered in among the questions. But just to actively study the Holy Spirit, to educate ourselves on the value and the measures put on him in scriptures. How does scripture really emphasize in the New Testament the work of the Spirit to educate ourselves, to continue to consider his might, just to read with the through the lens of the ability of the Holy Spirit, especially in so many places in the New Testament. The third one that I entitle, the first word is courage, because I think it takes courage to invite the Holy Spirit to train us. It takes courage to ask for any spiritual gifts that he might want us to have in order to do the call that he's given us. It takes courage to ask him to expand our measures so that they match his. But I feel like that those are just important things that we can ask of him. The fourth thing is just to awaken in us a hunger and a desire to walk in the full measure of his ways and his works. Just to ask that he will awaken us. I think at the crux of all of this, of love, is what the Lord is after is the heart of love in us. And the way he gets that from us is he pours love into us. And it's like it's doing something that our parents cannot fully do. And the way we grow up, if we're healthy, is the dialogue and attention and affirmation that our parents give us so that we know who we are, what we do well, We know how to fail. We know how to handle praise, all the things that happen in the context of an active relationship. We need that same active relationship with the Lord. But the thing is that only the Lord knows us. And so only the Lord can speak into our lives things that are absolutely true and trustworthy. And in the process of that, we come across things where we've mislabeled ourselves or developed self-images that are in the way of what God's calling us to do. So inner healing really does relate to our availability to finish the race that the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to see in our lives. God alone knows us, and he continues to form and parent us. And in just a minute, get ready, Mitch. Mitch is going to share something with us that the Lord did in his life. What builds us up individually, if we take something up that the Lord calls us to do, my experience, and I think for many people, is we find ourselves developing in ways that we had not anticipated. So the obedience of stepping into something we feel the Lord is calling us to will be a way of him developing and forming and calling us forth. His training calls forth things in us that we didn't know were there. So if it seems like a shot in the dark to pray for some kind of spiritual gift, when it's connected with something the Lord is doing in us, at least again, my experience was I got desperate for that gift, and I caught from a true heart. I said, Lord, I need this gift, and he gave it to me. So it is in the context of our relationship that a lot of these things begin to make sense. We learn to listen in prayer, and one of the benefits is that we learn the voice of the Lord apart from all other voices inside of us, from our parents, whatever. When we know the Lord's voice and we practice in listening prayer to know that voice, it will carry us far forward and keep us on track in ways that we might not anticipate, because we know that the Lord speaks wisdom that we can't come up with in our own minds. So measures can be tricky. Do you want to come up, Mitch? Measures can be tricky. Our self-perception may be the limit of what we expect while the Lord, by his Spirit, is transforming us from glory to glory. That is what he's doing. We're on a trek from glory to glory. Expect him to stretch us when we say yes to growth in the Spirit. And just remember Gideon, who said he was the least person in the least tribe of Israel, and God said, no, you're a mighty warrior. Get up. I'm sending you out to be a mighty warrior. So, Mitch, I don't think he said that to you, but he did say some things to you that we want to hear, and I think especially what the Lord removed in order to free you to move on and do what he's called you to do. And I'll just wrap up when you're done.
Okay.
This is Mitch.
Howdy ho. Hello? Should I use this? Hello? Yeah, so Chris and Diane asked me to share my experience from my testimony from the healing retreat a month ago. I was going to say a week ago. It was a month ago. And I wrote it down because I sent it to them, so I'm just going to read it to you and maybe have some commentary too. Chris and Diane, the healing retreat lived up to its name. I first felt the pull to attend, ironically, in prayer. It was a quiet nudge, and I personally didn't want to go, which usually indicates to me that God's footprints were near. Besides that, I hadn't been to Second Saturday for a long time, another reason to blow it off, in my mind. My Saturday schedule remained open, and I remained open to God's leading, so I ended up signing up at the last moment. No surprise here, that's the story of my life, last moment. While pulling into the parking lot for the healing retreat, I saw an old college friend, Brian, over here. And that felt like a confirmation that I was in the right place. Then I discovered another college friend that ended up at the retreat, Kathy. I don't know if Kathy's here today, but... So that was some confirmation that I was in the right place. And we sat together and had lunch afterward, and it was really a great time to connect. So the small group time was wonderful, and the prayer appointment surprised me. And it was funny, for the prayer appointment, I wasn't planning on signing up for that either. And at the last minute, I talked to Diane, and she's like, yeah, 145. Just right away, boom, that room. Oh, okay. Like it was all waiting for me or something. So I'll boil that prayer appointment down to one word, and that's worthlessness. For me, it's a lifelong stronghold. And the prayer ministers helped me with their feedback and their prayers. And something new happened in my heart. And this is a work. I mean, it just doesn't go away like, boom, it's over when you have a, you know, kind of a lifelong stronghold like that. But something new happened in my heart that day, and I know that God will free me from this lie of worthlessness. And it started happening that day. And I wanted to share a little story about a friend of mine, unrelated to this, but we were having coffee one day, and I was ranting about something. I can't remember even what it was. And he just sat there quietly for a moment, and he said, "It sounds like you're believing a bunch of lies." And at that moment, I knew it was true. What he said was true. And I stopped. We need people like that in our life. People that can tell us that at when we're believing lies. Oh, broomball, yeah. Okay. So on the broomball rank, which is, you know, I realize that God loves the athletic gifts that he has given me. It honors him when I enjoy those gifts. And this verse rose to my surface during the broomball game, of all places. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And that was cool. I mean, I've always loved sports. Anything with a ball, I want to play it. And so even while I was, you know, I was in goal blocking shots, this verse is going through my head. So that was nice. It was, this is a step forward for me. And I'm looking forward, and I'm thankful for Second Saturday. That's it. Okay.
Well, this occurred to me a couple days ago that we should pray for you, just very, very quickly. Lord, thank you for the testimony. Lord, I just lift up that whole idea of worthlessness, that many of us can probably own that ourselves. And Father, we just thank you for opening a door for Mitch. And together we just pray, Father, that there would be really a meaningful road laid out for him, before him, Lord, that he'd recognize the things you're calling him to now, that you couldn't have drawn him before because he didn't think he had a worthwhile life, and now he knows that he is. And so we pray for you to just nurture him on this new path, Lord, and thank you that he was willing to share with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So we are going to journal right now, and you have questions on the green sheet. Don't feel that you have to answer them all. Just take a look. Ask the Lord to show you what he really wants to talk to you about today. And on the third page, there are seven questions. We're just going to be available for prayer ministry. We just felt this would be a good time for us to offer you the opportunity if you want to sort of affirm or confirm something, or just have a prayer of blessing over something the Lord is doing in you today. We will be available after communion to pray over you. So if you can take time to just look through here, and if there's something that you would like us to pray for, just jot it down here so you can remember it when you come up. And Diane will explain later. It's not a big deal, but she'll just explain kind of how the procedure goes. But just let the Lord lead you in the journaling, and we try to keep quiet throughout the building. You can spread out here. You can go down the hall. You can go out in the narthex or into that fireside room, and we'll come back together at 10:30. So, Lord, we just open our ears and our hearts to what you want to say to each of us. Amen.